Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 15 July, 2025, Zachariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 2, and we are in the last paragraph of chapter 2, Zechariah 2, verses 10 through 13. And in that last paragraph, some great prophecies about the millennial kingdom when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And he is coming back at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. And that's described here in the last paragraph, Zechariah 2, 10 through 13. So in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word above all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our soul. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, you've heard from this pulpit many, many times that the United States of America, and I love our nation, we are currently the client nation to God, and I love America, but our nation is in apostasy, and our nation is in degeneracy, and we are so full of hatred and cruelty and evil. It just breaks my heart. I love this nation, and it breaks my heart. This article illustrates that the words must have seemed very clever. That's probably why she sent them out into the world. The pediatrician wrote, quote, "May all visitors, children, non-MAGA voters, and pets be safe and dry. Kerr County MAGA voted to gut FEMA. They deny climate change. May they get what they voted for." And then she adds, "Bless their hearts," unquote. After losing her job and receiving widespread scorn, She apologized for the post. She explained that people had the false impression that I made it after the devastating loss of life was known. However, she said she posted it before she knew so many precious lives were lost to the terrible tragedy. What does she mean by so many? How many deaths does it take to be a devastating loss of life? How many lives must be lost before we see it as a tragedy and not fodder for jokes and political gut punches? She acknowledged the possibility of a high casualty count. She noted that in the very first post. She said in that first post, "May all visitors, children, non-MAGA voters, and pets be safe and dry." It sounds like if you were approved of Kerr County Republicans, she approved of them drowning. Even their pets' lives were more important than the MAGA voters. Meanness in America has become the order of the day. A person well-connected enough to have been appointed by the mayor of a major city to the town's food insecurity board implied that because most of the campers were white, they deserved what they got. Most stories about her don't mention what she said in response to the pushback she received. She wrote, this gal wrote, quote, "God washed away those little," and then an expletive. I'll stop the quote there because I don't want to post even the first letter of the word that came next. And she used that word to describe little girls. Little girls who had died awful, drowning deaths only hours before. And to make it worse, she attempted to convince us that God was angry at those girls for being white. We are a sick, sick society. We are a sick, sick nation. And this kind of cruelty and hatred and evil is all throughout America. It reminds me of the time just before another flood. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 says that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In verse 13, God said, "The earth is filled with violence." And in Matthew 24:37, The Lord Jesus Christ said, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And we are living in those days right now. That is just sick, sick, sick. That you would say those, swear about the death of little girls and it was a disaster. And swear at them. They deserve it because they're white. Well, our nation is in apostasy and degeneracy. We have turned away from God. We have turned away from the Word of God. And God and His Word isn't even that important for most people, even most Christians in America today. And that's a great warning sign right there. All right. The last paragraph of Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 to 13, we have millennial blessings. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth at the second advent. And when He comes back to this earth, He will then establish His kingdom on this earth. And that is going to be a time of great world, no, total perfect environment, world peace, world prosperity, world blessings, righteousness and justice. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords will be ruling on planet earth, and people from every nation of the earth will come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. That's all coming up. First, the church age has to end. That's the rapture of the church, resurrection of the royal family of God. Then a seven-year period of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. Then the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the establishment of His kingdom on earth, a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ in perfect environment. That's coming. So in Zechariah 2, 10 to 13, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are told to praise God and rejoice, celebrate over their future for three reasons. First, God's presence, that is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return and dwell in Jerusalem. That's verse 10. And secondly, Gentiles' position. Verse 11. Believer Gentiles from every nation on the earth will come to worship the Messiah as He rules and reigns in Jerusalem. And then verse 12. Judah's privilege. Judah will be uniquely privileged. Verse 12, and then in verse 13, the last verse, this is so powerful. It's where silence is deafening. There is a total silence, solemn silence before Jehovah, before the Messiah, before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that great solemn silence is demonstrating total, genuine humility, reverential respect for the living and true God, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, and His grace and His power. That's the last verse, verse 13. We've exegeted part of verse 10. It starts out and it says, "Shout and rejoice from great inner happiness, O daughter of Zion. Israel's Messiah has returned, the second advent of Jesus Christ. He has judged and destroyed Israel's enemies. He is ruling and reigning on the throne of David. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is in Jerusalem. And He is the King of the entire earth." And we saw many wonderful passages. Psalm 93, 1 and 2. Psalm 96, 1 to 3. Psalm 98, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. Zephaniah 3, 14 to 17. And the emphasis here is on the second advent, when Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His blessings will overflow on Israel and Jerusalem and the nations of the entire world. In Zechariah 2:10, we have the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, dwelling in Israel and ruling the world from the throne of David in Jerusalem. The second advent and presence of the Shekinah glory in Israel is not only a sign of great blessing to Israel, but also a sign of great blessing for all the nations of the world. Because behold, I am coming, second advent, and I will dwell, the Shekinah glory, in your midst, declares the Lord. So that great phrase in verse 10, behold, because behold, I am coming. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, His second advent. And the Bible talks about that second coming of Christ many times. The Lord Jesus Christ made the analogy Himself of His second advent to lightning. Lightning that goes clear across the sky from the east to the west. And we studied that in Matthew 24, 27 to 30. The second advent will also be seen by every person on planet Earth. And that's why that second coming is going to be a 24-hour. That coming from the third heaven all the way down to planet Earth, 24-hour event, because the world will have a chance to make one revolution. Every eye on planet Earth will see Jesus Christ coming back at the second advent, Revelation 1:7. The second advent disturbs and frightens all the ones who are on the wrong side of history, all unbelievers on the wrong side of history. And that's Revelation 6:12-17. In fact, they are so afraid that they ask the mountains to fall on them. They'd rather have the mountains fall on them than the judgment coming from Jesus Christ. The second advent is characterized by the storms of coming judgment. The annihilation of the invading armies in the Middle East, the King of the North, Russia, allied with Iran, King of the East, the Communist China, and their armies of 1 million troops, the Kings of the South, the Pan-Arabic bloc, and the revived Roman Empire, the Antichrist, the King of the West. And they all come into the Middle East to try to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. but they will fail. So the second advent is characterized by the storms of coming judgment, the annihilation of the invading armies, king of the north, king of the east, king of the south, kings of the west, judgment of Satan and the fallen angels, the judgment of the beast and the false prophet, the baptism of fire, which removes all unbelievers from the earth, and the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline to certain nations. The second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ ushers in the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ for believers only. Satan and demons are removed, Revelation 20:1-3. There will be great spirituality in the millennial kingdom. Israel is restored as a client nation to God, and all the unconditional covenants to Israel will be fulfilled at that time. The Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. And the nations of the world will enjoy perfect environment on planet Earth in the millennium. For 1,000 years, perfect environment, perfect air. Forget about this climate change and global warming. That's all a lie, lie, lie. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, there will be perfect environment, perfect air, perfect water, perfect peace, great, great prosperity, perfect righteousness, perfect justice. Jesus Christ, there will be fairness, and the people who are destitute and poor, he will be their man and stand up for them. And they will be provided for in a great, great, in great justice, in fairness and honesty. All of that is a part of this millennial kingdom. Now we looked at some passages on worldwide peace last time, and we stopped there. So we're not going to go there again. Isaiah 2:4, Micah 4:3, Hosea 2:18. But let's pick it up from there. There's only one I'm not going to talk about tonight, and that is in the millennial kingdom, nature changes radically. And why am I not going to teach that tonight? Come to class on Sunday. Come on Sunday. We're right in that. And Romans 8:19, nature is waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And when that happens, the second advent, nature will return to its pristine beauty in the millennial kingdom. And so here is even the nature waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. So we're going to study that in much more detail on Sunday in our Romans class. But first of all, there will be not only universal worldwide peace in the millennial kingdom, man will not learn war anymore. There will be no army, navy, air force, marine corps, no coast guard, no need for it, because there will be absolute world peace. Now, secondly, there will be universal prosperity. Universal prosperity. Turn over to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Verse 7. First of all, we're going to look at verse 7. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. And then go down to verse 16. Psalm 72, verse 16. Let grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like the grass of the field. So great universal prosperity in the millennium. Third, there will be perfect world government under the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and he will be the ruler of the entire planet. And he will rule the entire planet with absolute righteousness, perfect justice all over the world. Absolute righteousness and perfect justice. So perfect world government under the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11, let's start at verse 1. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. This is the Messiah, the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has infinite personal love for God the Father and his magnificent plan. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy, the destitute. So those on the planet, and these are usually the ones that get walked all over and stepped on, but the Lord Jesus Christ, with righteousness, he will judge the needy and the destitute with justice, perfect justice. He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. That's the best of all. Verse 5, righteousness will be his belt, and truth, the truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine, the sash around his waist. So there will be perfect government, perfect world government under the Lord Jesus Christ. One other passage we're in Zechariah. We'll get there in the last chapter. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. We may even get to chapter 3 tonight. I'm not going to say we are. We may get to chapter 3 tonight. There's only 14 chapters. So about 14 years, we ought to be just about done. Zechariah 14, verse 9. The Lord will be king. King over the whole earth. The Lord Jesus Christ will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. So perfect world government under the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourth, perfect objectivity in the administration of justice. Perfect objectivity in the administration of justice. Go back to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Psalm 72, verse 12. For he will deliver the needy who cry out. Perfect administration of justice. He will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Perfect justice. Perfect administration of justice. Perfect objectivity. Fifth, nature changes radically. And as I pointed out, we're going to study this in great detail on Sunday morning in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 to 22. But nature is going to change radically. In fact, nature right now is waiting eagerly for the coming of Jesus Christ and the revealing of the sons of God, because then the curse is over on them that came on them from Adam's fall in Genesis 3. Satan became the ruler of planet Earth, but at the millennial kingdom, Satan is put in prison for the 1,000 years, and nature is restored to its pristine beauty. It'll be absolutely phenomenal. So we'll see that on Sunday morning. Six, there is a population explosion. Now, when the millennial kingdom starts, not that many people come into the millennium at that initially. That's because during that 7-year tribulation period, most of the people on planet Earth have been destroyed. So there aren't that many. And when Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, there will be a remnant. There will be a remnant of Gentiles who have believed in Christ as their Savior. There will be a remnant of Jews who have believed in Christ as their Savior. They go in, all of those surviving unbeliever Gentiles and unbeliever Jews, they will be judged by Jesus Christ. They will go into torments for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, they come out and face Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, where they are just judged and cast into the lake of fire. So there aren't that many people when the millennial kingdom starts, and there will be a great population explosion. Because they're going to live almost the entire 1,000 years. And they are coming in physical bodies, and they're going to have procreate and have children. And their children's going to have children, and their children's going to have children, and children, and children. By the end of the 1,000 years, the earth is repopulated. And seven, at the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign, there is the Gog Revolution. And the Gog Revolution is started by Satan after his release from prison, because there are multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of unbelievers on the earth at the end of that 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And that just blows me away. I hear all kinds of people say, you know, if we just had perfect environment, everything would be hunky-dory. Well, no, the problem with man is that we're born spiritually dead. We're born spiritually dead, and we need a Savior. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty for all of our sins once and for all. Because he paid the penalty for all of our sins once and for all, anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ receives the gift of eternal life. Now, the millennial kingdom starts out with believers only, but they have children, and they're born spiritually dead. And they need to believe in Jesus Christ. And you'd think they would, because Jesus Christ is ruling the entire world. And yet there will be multitudes and multitudes who will not. And this is taught in Revelation chapter 20. So turn over to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 7. Revelation 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are over, so this is the end of the millennial kingdom, the 1,000 years of Jesus Christ's reign is over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle, for war. In number, they are like the sand of the seashore. That just blows me away. 1,000 years of having Jesus Christ ruling. You get to go to Bible conferences there. Hear the teaching of the grace and truth of the Word of God. And then unbelievers, the number are like the sand of the seashore, do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They marched across the breadth of the earth and they surrounded the camp of God's people, the city that He loved, Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. That may be the shortest war in history, right there. So, verse 10 then. Shout and rejoice, celebrate, O daughter of Zion, because behold, I am coming. Second Advent. And I will dwell, the Shekinah glory, in your midst, declares the Lord. Now, verse 11. The fantastic blessing to the Gentiles. Gentiles' position. Verse 11 starts out, we always start with the King James. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. We have the Niphal perfect of Lava, prefix to the conjunction vav, plus the plural noun goyim, modified by the plural adjective rav, plus the preposition el, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton, plus the preposition beth, prefix to the noun yom, plus the neuter of the personal pronoun who, with the definite article ha. Okay. Well, we start out the verb lava. Looks like that in the Hebrew. L-A-V-A-H. Lava. And lava means to join or to be joined. The subject of the verb lava is goyim ravim. Goyim ravim, that is many Gentile believers. Many Gentile believers. The Nephal stem is the passive of the Cal stem. So a couple of things. One, these many Gentile believers, these many, this goyim ravim, these many Gentile believers will receive the action of being joined to the Lord. El Jehovah. Joined to the Lord. So these many Gentile believers will receive the action of being joined to the Lord. Blessing, 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 blessing. Two, people from every nation will come to know the Lord, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, and they will be joined to Him. People from every nation will come to know the Lord, salvation, by faith in Jesus Christ. There will be a great spiritual revival at the end of the Great Tribulation from the two witnesses and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And as a result of that great worldwide evangelism, there will be multitudes of Gentiles and Jews who will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So people from every nation will come to know the Lord, salvation, by faith in Jesus Christ and be joined to Him. Three, all believers, Jewish believers and Gentile believers, will become the people of the Lord in the millennial kingdom. All believers, Jewish believers and Gentile believers, will become the people of the Lord in the millennial kingdom. Four, this is once again a great demonstration of the grace and the power of God. Great demonstration of the grace and the power of God. And then we have Bayom Hahu. Bayom Hahu, in that day, the millennial kingdom. So the corrected translation says, many Gentile believers will receive the action of being joined to the Lord in that day, the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth. So many Gentile believers will receive the action of being joined to the Lord in that day, the millennial kingdom, and shall be my people. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of hayah, plus the preposition lama with the first person singular suffix, plus the preposition lama, the prefix to the noun am. The conjunction vav is a conversive vav, converting the perfect of hayah to the imperfect. Hayah is the Hebrew to be verb, and it would be translated, and they will become. See, it's actually in the perfect in the Hebrew, but the conversive vav converts the perfect to an imperfect, and so you translate it, and they will become. And then we have om with the first person singular suffix, my people. And they will become my people. So our verse now sounds like this. Many Gentile believers will receive the action of being joined to the Lord in that day, the millennial kingdom, and they will become my people. And then, and I will dwell in the midst of them. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of shakan, with the first person singular subject, plus the preposition beth, prefix to tavek, with the second person singular suffix. Now, you ought to realize by this time, this is a very special verb. S-H-A-K-A-N. Shakan. Very special verb. This is the same verb we had back in verse 10. And once again, the vav is a conversive vav, converting the perfect into an imperfect. And shakan is the verb that means to settle down, to abide, to dwell. And shakan is the root word for Shekinah, indicating the Lord's presence. In the age of Israel, Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, lived in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle and then the Holy of Holies of the temple. And we studied that We were not going to go back to these passages again. We saw that in Exodus 25, 21, and 22, Leviticus 26, 11, and 12, Hebrews 9, 5. And the Shekinah glory is the sign of great blessing to Israel, and in this verse, great blessing to the Gentile believers as well. So, a couple of points. One, God the Father sent the Shekinah glory from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the first Advent. The eternal Son of God, through the incarnation and virgin birth, took on true humanity. So God the Father sent the Shekinah glory to mankind at the first Advent to guarantee great blessings of eternal salvation for anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this is seen in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 14, which says, "And the Word..." And Word is Logos. L-O-G-O-S. Now, Logos is Word. Sometimes it refers to the Word of God, the written Word. Other times it refers to the living Word, and the living Word is Jesus Christ. And here it's the living Word, Jesus Christ. "And the Logos, the living Word, became flesh," the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, "and he tabernacled among us." You see, where did the Shekinah glory dwell? In the tabernacle? And in the temple. And the word here is tabernacle. "And he tabernacled among us. And we observed his glory." The glory, the Shekinah glory of the unique one from the Father. John chapter 1, verse 14. Point two, secondly. The second advent of Jesus Christ and presence of the Shekinah glory in Israel is not only a sign of great blessing to Israel. The second advent, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and presence of the Shekinah glory in Israel is not only a sign of great blessing to Israel, but also a sign of great blessing for Gentile believers all over planet Earth. But also a sign of great blessing for Gentile believers all over planet Earth. And then the preposition bath, in, and tavix, with the second person singular suffix, your midst. So, corrected translation. Many Gentile believers, Rav Goyim, many Gentile believers will receive the action of being joined to the Lord in that day, millennial kingdom. And they will become my people, and I will dwell in their midst, the Shekinah glory. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the cal perfect of yada, with the second person singular subject, plus the conjunction ki, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton once again, plus the plural of the noun tzava, that's tzevaoth. When you have Jehovah Tzevaoth, tetragrammaton, and plural of Tzava, Jehovah Tzevaoth, the Lord of the armies. And then the verb shalak with the first person singular masculine suffix, plus the preposition el with the second person singular masculine suffix. So the conjunction vav, and the conjunction vav here is, again, a conversive vav, converting the perfect of the verb yada to an imperfect. But the conjunction vav also expresses an inference or a consequence and is correctly translated then. And that's how we'll translate then. And then we have the verb yada. Y-A-D-A-I, yada. And this is the verb that literally means to know. And it's putting the spotlight on the importance of knowing the Word of God. The importance of knowing the God-breathed Scriptures. The greatest treasure you'll ever have. It isn't gold or silver or precious stone. The greatest treasure you will ever have is the Word of God. And here, the spotlight is on the importance of getting that treasure of the Word of God in your heart. That, when the Lord says to you, come home, you go home. What are you going to take? You won't take any gold, silver, or precious stones. But you take everything, all that treasure in your heart goes to heaven with you. So the spotlight is on the importance of knowing the Word of God. After verbs of decendi, like our verb yada, to know, then the conjunction ki is correctly translated that. And it introduces an object clause. In other words, what you will know. You will know that. You will know that. And then we have Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. Title here for God the Father. God the Father, Jehovah Tsevaoth. Shalak, first person singular masculine suffix, has sent me, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the preposition el, with the second person singular masculine suffix, to you. So, verse 11 is in the canon. Many Gentile believers will be joined to the Lord in that day, millennial kingdom, and they will become my people. And I will dwell in their midst, the Shekinah glory. Then you will know that the Lord of the armies, God the Father, has sent me, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you. So, one, Gentiles who trust in the Lord, place their faith in Jesus Christ. These are Gentile believers rescued by Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation, second advent. Gentiles who trust in the Lord will come from every nation on the earth to worship the Messiah, Jesus Christ, when he rules and reigns in Jerusalem. This remnant of Gentile believers who go into the millennial kingdom, and they're from every nation on planet Earth, they will come from every nation to worship the Messiah when he rules and reigns in Jerusalem. There are so many great passages that teach this. This is fun. So let's turn over to Isaiah first of all. First one, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. And Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 gives us the glory of the future millennial kingdom. All right? So verse 2, in the last days, that's the millennial kingdom, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. And the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So, Gentiles from every nation on planet Earth will come to worship Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And then turn over to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Again, in Micah 4, 1 through 8, once again, we have the glories of the millennial kingdom. In the last days, the millennial kingdom, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and people will stream to it from every nation on planet Earth. Turn over to Zechariah. We got this coming up in Zechariah chapter 8. Yeah. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 20. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come, and the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going, and many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 men, I love this, in those days, 10 men from all languages, all these different nations, and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. Is that cool? And if you're a Jew at that time, you better have some real excellent material that you make your clothes on. Ten people hanging on to you, you know. And Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 16. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So that Gentile remnant that is delivered into the Millennial Kingdom, they will go up year by year, year after year, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the King. So, point one, Gentiles who trust in the Lord will come from every nation to worship the Messiah when he rules and reigns in Jerusalem. Point two, they will come under great blessings of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth in the millennium. They will come under great blessings of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth in the millennium. So, this last paragraph, verse 10, God's presence. Verse 11, the Gentiles' position and blessing. And that will bring us to, and we didn't get to chapter 3, but we're all the way up to verse 12. So next week, verse 12, and Judah's privilege. Next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.